You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
I think it's really important that everybody who lives in Aotearoa New Zealand sees themselves reflected in the questions that are asked in the census. But more than that, though, there's been decades of work done by people in our communities to call for these, because these could potentially make a huge difference in measuring how well we're doing in things like human rights issues faced by gay, lesbian, bisexual, trans people. But also we would urge for Statistics New Zealand to continue to work with intersex communities on how best to survey people with variations of sex characteristics so that their lives are also counted in official statistics.
And I guess also just on a practical level, census.org helps governments plan services. It's very important for resource allocation, and actually having that data on the LGBT community means that we can tailor specific services towards them.
Yeah, absolutely. I was a principal investigator of Counting Ourselves, the Aotearoa New Zealand Trans and Non-Binary Health Survey, and one of the most stark findings we saw, we looked at a range of health issues, but mental health really came out, and massive inequities amongst our communities that we saw there. And we're seeing that also, perhaps to a lesser extent, with sexuality minority as well. So, yeah, absolutely. I think there are more resources needed for our communities. And these are the kind of things that our community organisations have been crying out for a long time. I guess I could say a few things about some of the problems of what was the old way of doing things. So it would ask, are you, and then you'd have two response options, male or female. Those response options aren't inclusive of non-binary genders or people who don't identify solely as just male or female. What we found in Counting Ourselves is that 17% of our participants actually reported that they didn't complete the census at all. We didn't ask them why that was, but I would suspect that good likelihood was because look, they're just not seeing themselves reflected in the data. We asked them what they did, how they actually responded to questions in the census, and many of them, you know, went through some really quite creative ways of actually filling out the paper version and ticking both or ticking neither or trying to write in another way. That wouldn't actually have been counted. Statistics New Zealand, I understand, just counted that as missing data. But
it must just be incredibly invalidating for gender diverse people to have to go through all of these loops just to answer questions accurately.
Yes, yes, and obviously that was only the few who had that extra time and space in their life to be able to do that. And even then it wasn't necessarily accurate. You know, the response options to begin with were so limited.
Your research also found that trans and non-binary people are much more likely to experience financial hardship compared to the general population. And I guess this is a nuance that isn't captured by general statistics on poverty.
Absolutely. So there are questions like in the New Zealand General Social Survey that Statistics New Zealand runs. Up until now, they haven't asked questions on whether people are trans or not. So, for example, in Counting Ourselves, we found that our participants were almost three times more likely than to have put up with feeling cold. So that was 64% of our participants. And also around three times more likely to have gone without fresh fruit and veggies. Just over half, 51% of our participants gone without fresh fruit and veggies in order to reduce their cost.
I guess as a whole, like, these findings reveal systemic inequities for LGBT, especially trans people in our society.
What I'm really interested in as a researcher is social determinants of health. So what are the things going on which might be responsible for these inequities? And we looked at things like healthcare access barriers, discrimination, experiences of violence, but also some possible supportive and protective factors like family and whānau, community connectedness that might serve as a buffer for these things. I guess some of the more stark statistics, 2/3 of trans and non-binary Counting Ourselves participants had experienced discrimination at some point in their life. And for close to half of participants, that had happened in the last 12 months. Then the same question is asked in the general social survey, that 17% of the general population. Almost a third of Counting Ourselves participants have reported that somebody had had sex with them against their will, which is much higher than the rate of sexual violence in the general social survey. And we looked at how these things were associated with mental health. We found that participants who reported that they had had someone have sex with them against their will were around twice as likely to have attempted suicide in the past year.
What should the new questions in the 2023 census look like?
Something I probably should have put up front at the beginning of this interview was that I'm one of the working group members of the experts who have helped to inform Statistics New Zealand's current proposal to change the sex and gender standards. These are official statistical standards which get updated regularly, and it was last updated in around 2015. So I have had some input in there already. There are definite improvements on what I described previously in the census, and I think the fact that what Statistics New Zealand have come out with, it looks like that it's been more inclusive of people, whether they identify as male, female, or another gender, including non-binary genders. So it does include that added option, which is good. It's good that they've come out and clearly said that we should be asking about gender first, and in most circumstances. But when there are some limited circumstances where you might have, for example, a population-based survey and you want to count the size of the trans population, or there might be some particular health reasons where you might need to know whether somebody is trans or not, then what they recommend is what they call a sex at birth question. So I'm generally supportive of this, and obviously I gave some input into this. Most of the trans community, what we would have preferred if it was made clear that this was sex assigned at birth. That's what we see as more reflective of our experiences and also what we're seeing. There is some evidence that this seems to be best practice internationally. However, we do think it is a step in the right direction. I would acknowledge, though, that I still have a few people in our trans communities are having some concerns with the possible privacy issues that might come from this. So I guess something like the census, while it does collect data, I guess there are backstops and procedures in place that it's kept anonymised, so the government doesn't have a record of who we all are that it can call on. But, you know, what we saw after there was a 2015 Statistics New Zealand change to the gender identity standard, where they suggested using the word gender diverse, what we saw is a lot of, I guess, organisations starting to use that standard, which makes a lot of sense. But there might be some concerns that for a lot of organisations start trying to collect that data as a way that they hope is being more inclusive, that they should be aware that there might be privacy concerns. And they really need to think about, do we really need to know if a person is trans or not? Or is it easier to just ask one question about gender, not sex assigned at birth? And that way you can still be completely reflective of how the people you're collecting data on see themselves. So generally, I think it's a step in the right direction. I do still have concerns about whether there might be some privacy issues that might come up from this.
Since the census is conducted by dwelling, do you think that underreporting will be a problem?
I think that's really well thought through, that is quite a possible issue, especially for people who don't disclose to other people in their dwelling that they are trans, that there are potential issues that people may not report their being trans, or also being a sexuality minority like gay, lesbian, bisexual, etc. Yeah, and I think that could be particularly an issue if it's younger people living at home, for example, or living in situations where it's not safe for them to be open with other people who they're living with. Possibly the online situation might make it easier. Yeah, so this all remains to be seen and worked through. Yeah, I think something that we do see, I guess, in trans communities that we don't necessarily see in other communities is there's those who haven't, I guess, come out or told anybody that they're trans yet, and they haven't gone through any steps to affirm their gender. But we also have quite a number of trans people who have gone through all of the steps to affirm their gender, and they live in a situation where nobody knows that they are trans or that their gender is different from their sex assigned at birth. So they might be living as a man or a woman, and nobody knows that history as well. There were serious concerns that the existing census questions, I guess, don't reflect either sex or gender. I guess, like for cisgender people who aren't transgender, that it doesn't matter. The answer, if you're being asked, are you male or female, the answer for you is the same anyway. So, but for trans people, that really does matter, and especially for non-binary people who actually have had no way of recording their gender under the current sex question. So the consultation document actually talks through the options to make it clearer for people, and also, like I referred to earlier, about the limited circumstances when sex at birth might be appropriate to be asked. So it's open for, I think it was for 5 weeks. It's probably been open for almost a week now. So I'd really encourage anybody, any listeners who are interested in giving feedback on this issue, to head over to the Statistics New Zealand website, and hopefully it should be quite straightforward to where to go to from there. I haven't given feedback myself, being one of the working group members, but I hope going to the Statistics New Zealand website will soon point you towards how to give your feedback.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.